everybody. Laura Ingraham here. And whether you are absolutely thrilled with my political point of view or you hate it, that doesn't matter, because for my new weekly podcast, It Ain't Political. This is all about the culture, parenting, education, the madness in Hollywood, the few bright lights on the horizon, and what we can do maybe to turn it all around. I'm going to have fascinating guests from the entertainment, media, journalism worlds, from the stage, from the big screen, from the music industry and beyond. Great writers and thinkers, doers. People have actually done something, not just talkers. And we've had enough of those, right? Including this one. So we're going to have a lot of fun, and I look forward to doing my all-new weekly Laura Ingraham podcast exclusively from PodcastOne.com.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette. If Ron Paul had wanted another career, something besides medicine or politics, he could have simply chosen to be an author. In fact, he is a very successful author indeed, with New York Times number one bestsellers In the Fed and The Revolution. And now Dr. Paul has taken on another big issue, education, in a brand new book, The School Revolution, A New Answer for Our Broken Education System. Let's find out more right after this.
How would you like to do something that's good for you and good for America? Well, you can, just by shopping like you normally do. You see, just about everybody uses Amazon these days, because it's so easy. But from now on, when you're going to shop on Amazon, go to the PodcastOne.com Ron Paul page and click on the Amazon link there. When you do, a portion of whatever you buy gets kicked back to the Ron Paul show to help keep the podcast coming and keep us from having to run tons and tons of ads. So we can be selective and focus on getting you Ron's message. So do it. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on the Ron Paul page, and click on Amazon. The next time you're going to buy something, use that link. You'll be helping yourself because you're buying something you want, and helping America because you're helping keep Ron Paul's messages coming. And there's no extra costs involved. You pay the same price, it's the same Amazon. If you want to help out even more, tell your friends to do the same thing. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on Ron Paul, then click on the Amazon link. You'll be glad you did.
Dr. Paul, your new book is called The School Revolution, A New Answer for Our Broken Education System. What's broken and what's the answer?
Well, I believe the answer is that we don't depend on the government to educate our kids. The broad principle is that who's responsible for our children's education. And I'm convinced what has happened over the many years in our country, it went from the responsibility of parents to the responsibility of the government. Not only our local government and our state government and our federal government, but they even invite the United Nations in to check on the schools and what should be taught and how to take these tests. So I think that it has been the basic principle. But it's been gradual. You know, when I was in grade school and high school, I always went to a public school, but it was always controlled totally by the local school board, not the state or anything else. But that has changed so much. And the more you get government, it seems like the quality of education went down. But guess what? It didn't get cheaper. It got worth less, but it didn't get cheaper in the sense that it costs a lot of money to educate our children. Washington, D.C. is a good example of this. That's a federal responsibility because it's a federal city, but it's one of the worst, if not the worst. It costs the most, more crime, more drugs, anything else. And yet every time the problems come to Congress, they always just want more money to solve the problems. So I think that the evidence is in now to show that the quality of education statistically shows that we're doing very poorly if we're compared to many, many other countries of the world. We might be 10th, 15th, 20th, or 30th in some of the subject. But if you look at the success of some of the homeschoolers, or a lot of the homeschoolers, you'll find out they have done quite well. Some of them finish high school, in their teenage years and go to college early, and they do better in college. There's just so many things that they have, excelled in over and above those who have been in public education. Most people know there's something wrong, but unfortunately, they haven't gotten away with thinking outside the box in the sense all they think about is, well, we need better management, we need more money, we just need to change what we're doing. And it's not a democratic thing. It's a sort of universal attitude that we've had for 100 years. because Republicans like it just as much as the Democrats. Right now, we have a major aggravation with our education with no child left behind, and that was a Republican function and program. So this continues. It continues to get worse, and the people are sick and tired of it. The American people are wondering what to do. And there's been so much information out. One individual that I've read about and actually interviewed that I thought was fantastic on this issue was Peter Gray, who wrote a book called Free to Learn, and he calls our public school system a prison. And his suggestion, and I think it's natural to think this way because it more or less coincided with what I thought, let children learn at their own pace. Let them learn what they like to do. And his big analysis shows that just look at a small child. How do they learn? They ask their parents and their grandparents questions endlessly, and they learn so much on their own until they get to a public school system. Then all of a sudden it's compulsory, it's conformity. You don't think for yourself. You're not a self-starter. You have to go along and fit in. And he claims, and I believe, that this destroys the creativity and the curiosity that you need to make learning fun. I know in my own life that after I finished formal education, I decided that I wanted to learn more about economics. You know, and I had heard about the free market school, you know, Austrian economics. And all of a sudden, reading economics became fun. But in college, when I took an economics course, it was so boring and so terrible and difficult to understand. So education should be fun. It should be what we like to do. And I think there's a lot of room out there right now for some different options. And this is the reason I've written the book. And also, I'm offering up a curriculum where people can educate their children with a lot less money and with a lot more flexibility and end up with a better education and actually, you know, get into college and have jobs and all much better than if you have a total public school education.
Well, you're correct about homeschooled children becoming the stuff of legend. We see them in national academic competitions, spelling bees, geography contests. I mean, it's who in the education establishment resists homeschooling today?
I would say the group that most resists it will be the school unions, the union of the teacher, the NEA, National Education Association. They happen to be now the largest union in the whole country, and they're always, you know, looking for more money, and with money comes controls, and I think they're off track, but I just think that's probably been the biggest detriment. But there's a strong motivation between the individuals who believe in the collective and they believe in this so-called interdependence versus those others like myself. And that is that we believe in individualism. We want to create the individuals important to do his own thinking and be responsible. So those who believe in collectivism and authoritarianism, their greatest enemy is somebody who thinks for himself. And that's why they have to squelch it. So this is why the earlier they get the kids, the better. Now, I think Obama wants to get hold of the kids at the age of 4. It was pretty outlandish when Hitler started the Hitler Youth Group as early as 1922. He knew how important it was to indoctrinate young people. Even then, it wasn't as young as we're working on, because I think he got hold of the youth at the age of 10. And, of course, it was indoctrination. So we can't expect the government schools to give an education to young people and children to understand why government schools might not be the best, that they are deeply flawed. So their whole educational system is slanted, you know, toward protecting the state. So you're not going to get free markets in public schools, and you're not going to get this whole idea that the neoconservatives are completely wrong on foreign policy. And this is the reason it's so vital, and there's so much frustration and parents annoyed. But like I said at the beginning, what really has to be done is the assumption of parents for the education of their children. There's where the moral responsibility is. And right now, we just defer to the government. The big challenge there, of course, is people will say, well, that's the old days. That's when kids were raised by parents. But no, they only have a single parent. And they think up all these excuses to say that the state has to become the parent. So no matter how complicated the situation might be in a family, I know a lot of people who survived single parents because they were good parents and they took care of their children. So this is not a reason to say that the state has to become the absolute parent and make all these decisions and indoctrinate with a collectivist statist position in history and in economics and all the social studies. And that's what is happening now. But what has happened also is it becomes so boring that kids don't have this spirit that they have when they're children, small children, when they're 2, 3, 4, and 5, when they love learning. I mean, they have fun. Learning has to be fun. If it's not fun, it's not going to work. I used to tell my patients, exercise, if it's boring, you're not going to do it. Why don't you find something you can exercise with and have fun? It's much more fun, you know, playing tennis than it would be to doing push-ups. And I think education's the same way. What fun is it? There's no fun in it if you're being forced to do certain things and mold your character work on conformity, where once people discover what is out there and what you can learn and learn on your own, it becomes very exciting. And I think, you know, if we go back and look at how the founders were educated, they frequently were self-taught, parents taught, and they were well-versed. They knew the classics, and they knew languages and everything else. And we think of that period of time as being pretty primitive. But I think that today's pretty primitive. And, you know, and we talk about, and you mentioned in the introduction, that we have to try something new. But in some ways, we're going back to some basics that are fundamentally correct. And that is education should come in not a compulsory manner, but more in a voluntary manner where children could have fun.
Dr. Paul, tell us about the brand new Ron Paul curriculum.
Yes, I have devised with help of others a curriculum that I think will satisfy a lot of people. And there are four goals in the curriculum. One is to define and get people to understand what true liberty is all about and where our rights originate, rather than depending on the state for taking care of us from cradle to grave. It's also a curriculum designed to be able to defend liberty. And I've said this so often, be educated, know what we're talking about, but be able to defend ourselves. I've always been annoyed that we never have the moral high ground. You know, libertarians and conservatives and constitutionalists say, yeah, we love freedom. But the other side interprets it, we don't care about poor people. Well, in order to gain support from the people, you have to show it's in their interest. And therefore, you have to know how to defend the free market, because obviously more people are better taken care of. There's less poverty and better education, all these things in the free market. And yet we generally lose that argument. I'd like to get people to defend that more clearly. Also, if this program works the way I want it to work, they're going to be able to achieve college success much better. That many people have already heard with homeschoolers. Sometimes they get into college when they're 15 and they finish college when they're 18 or 19. So it will be a different speed. And I believe very sincerely that this can happen when the parents are helpful, the students are energized, and they're anxious to get a good education. The other thing that is a little bit different than some of the other programs is I'd like to get people to learn how to start a business. Some of the basic business principles where you can actually do it from your home. So those are the goals that we have. And it's based on promoting the freedom philosophy. It's very biased toward liberty and understanding what freedom is all about, and very biased against socialism and welfareism and collectivism. But the real objectivity comes in a program that is designed to be objective in mathematics and science and history. Those kind of things you'd be very, very objective to. It's not going to, the curriculum is not going to be designed to preach a religious doctrine. It's going to be designed to teach what liberty is all about. And if that is understood, then religious doctrine can be taught some other places. There are a lot of homeschooling programs, and they're perfectly all right, that teaches religious doctrine. But this program, I would like to invite the people who are interested in liberty because they want to teach religious doctrine, as well as those who don't care about it. So it's this principle that I would like to see carried out, where freedom is beneficial to everybody, regardless of how we use this freedom. So these are the goals. The courses will be free from kindergarten up to fifth grade. After that, it'll be $50 a course and $250 a family. This can all be found on the ronpaulcurriculum.com. And another neat thing, from those who have been advising me and will be the teachers, say that they can do it without requiring anybody to buy a book. They can, if they like to use them and want to, but they can get everything off the internet, and therefore they do not have to spend them on one area where they'll save a lot of money in buying these very expensive books. The other reason to not have books is we wouldn't be using typical books that are used in public school, but to learn from the original document. So if you want to learn about the Constitution, you don't read it from some neoconservative who preaches the doctrine of war, and they want to teach us about history. History will be taught by reading the Constitution, or the people who discussed it back then, or the Declaration of Independence. So the approach will be different, and hopefully the children will recognize they can move at their own pace and have a lot of fun and interact with other students as well. And when the courses are official, actually get help from teachers through the internet.
All right. The new book is The School Revolution, A New Answer for Our Broken Education System. A few months back, somebody in New York Magazine referred to Ron Paul's burgeoning libertarian industrial complex. And they meant that disparagingly, but with all the other things you're doing, it's just wonderful that you've taken the field on this great challenge in our education system. Thank you, Dr. Paul. Another great conversation and podcast. Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.